There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com. Real time.
William Mullally, welcome to the studio.
Thank you for having me.
Must just set the scene for everyone. So William is dressed in a nice smart shirt today, and just as we went live on Heather, he rubbed his fingers through his hair, all manly.
Anyone who's seen a video of me on YouTube interviewing someone, it's the first thing I do in an interview too. It's like,
is it?
It's like, I guess it centers me. It's like, all right, it's my business move.
Very interesting. So we're going to start with a little bit of movie news today. Some of the headlines that have stood out to us this week. The first one that I saw was Sylvester Stallone, who is set to make a movie about the Trump-pardoned boxer Jack Johnson. Tell me more.
Well, I think if you're not familiar with Jack Johnson, the controversy was originally, well, it's hardly controversial today, I guess, but at the time it was very controversial that he was in a mixed-race marriage, and as a result he was locked up and he fled the country and had to box outside of the country. Miles Davis famously made an album about him called Tribute to Jack Johnson in 1971, which is one of his best solos of all time, by the way. He was 15 minutes late, he showed up and just killed it. So if you're interested, go listen to that. Mm. He's not the acoustic guitar singer from Hawaii. And Sylvester Stallone, boxing film extraordinaire, has decided to produce a film after the last two Creed films have done so well. The second one probably will be doing well soon. And Sylvester Stallone has gotten his buddy Trump to pardon him. So I guess to give a nice little one of those, and he was pardoned by President Trump at the end of the film. He was like, man, I need something to put in the end of this screenplay. Trump, buddy.
When do you think this film will be out then?
I think it'll be out in a couple years. I don't think they've done any casting yet. I'm really hoping that Trump is going to have a cameo a la Home Alone 2, and he just shows up in the lobby of the Ritz in New York and he's just like, hey Jack, I'm looking for one of those. That's what I'm really hoping for.
He'll have to. He would never let anyone else play him, would he? He's like, I'll do it. I'll definitely do this. Okay, so that's a good one to watch out for in a couple of years. The next thing that I saw, James Marsden to star in Sonic the Hedgehog.
But just before you get to that, just while we have Stallone, tangent, Stallone's ex, Bridget Nielsen, has just announced she's pregnant with child number 5 at 54.
Wow.
That's punchy.
Wow.
Good on her.
Yeah, seriously.
I hope she can pay someone a lot of money to look after that child when it's born. Because, I mean, I'm 39 and I cannot imagine doing it now. Hard work.
And I think her oldest child is 34. So that's one heck of an age gap.
That's quite interesting, isn't it? Getting your children to babysit for your children.
Yeah, I mean,
work.
If she's happy, I'm happy for her.
Me too, and that is a good line. James Marsden, Sonic the Hedgehog. Now, I'm conflicted by this because I loved James Marsden in Westworld, and I really loved Sonic the Hedgehog in 1990, but having them together, I'm not sure I'm for it.
Mm. Well, Sonic the Hedgehog's, I guess, main job right now is for weird internet memes. So if you're on the weird internet, Sonic is a deeply weird place to be. He's full of, you know, weird fan fiction and strangeness. So this means James Marsden is going to get sucked up into that as well and become a pop culture phenomenon, the likes of which he's never known. I do think James Marsden's a guy, I mean, Westworld is just him getting owned constantly. He's just going to have a sad look on his face and get shot in the shot in the face and move on, and then the next episode is going to happen the exact same thing. So I do think that having him dunked on with Sonic the Hedgehog jokes for the next 10 years is going to be really funny as well.
Sonic the Hedgehog, though, I mean, there wasn't much to it, was there?
Not really. It was just, you know, a fast hedgehog running around.
And when I saw this, I thought to myself, I am probably your audience because I loved Sonic the Hedgehog, but I'm not going to go and see this. So who is the audience? The kids now?
I think it's got to be the, you know, the 30-somethings who grew up with it and played these video games as a kid, and they'll show up and they'll watch it and maybe they'll bring their kids.
Nah, are you going to watch it? I'm not going to watch it.
I think if you had kids, you'd be like, you know what? I want my kid to be indoctrinated with all of the pop culture that I grew up on, which is why we see all these films doing so well today that do that exact same premise.
That's the key. Okay, mm-hmm. Got it. And last but not least, Top Gun 2.
Top Gun 2, back in production. I do think that he's been waiting for this for a long, long time. I think, you know, Tom Cruise has really built his entire career off of the fame of this film. It's, you know, still incredibly beloved. I do think it's probably one of his most, it's probably his most referenced film, bigger so than Jerry Maguire, Born on the 4th of July, everything else. So I do think that people have high hopes for this one. It's also another one that I think people are going to want to take, knowing they grew up on it and bringing their kids to. I just really hope that he hires Val Kilmer, because Val Kilmer has been openly pleading on social media to please be cast in this film. As you remember, he played Iceman in the original.
Yeah.
And so I do hope that they involve him in some way, because I know he's been ill for a long time and I think it would mean the world to Val Kilmer.
He'd have to do a lot to get back in shape though, Val. I have to say it.
Yeah, bring him on for a little cameo, something.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
It'd be awful if he's been on social media asking and then they don't.
Yeah, exactly.
Go for him. They have to, really.
Well, hey, William Shatner did the same thing for the last few Star Trek films. They still didn't put him in those.
Oh, yeah. Is Kelly McGillis back?
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
They
bring
her back?
They're keeping a lot of the details close to the chest. So I think we're going to have to stay tuned to see what else Tom puts on his social media, because he is his own PR machine these days, much like The Rock and all these other gigantic stars.
And he loves to do his own stunts. So is he actually going to fly the planes this time around? You never know. It could happen.
Anything could happen.
He'll surf on top, I think. I think it's probably going to be his move.
But he'll be a wing-walking guy, but he won't have any kind of like harnesses to hold him on.
No,
just balance.
Bonkers.
Yeah, just... I want to see how far this can go. I just want to see the worst possible thing he can possibly do on these one of these stunts.
You know what? We laugh at him, but still fancy him. What can I say?
I even loves The Mummy. It was hilarious.
We're going to come back. That is your movie news. When we come back, we're going to talk about the movies that were released at midnight last night.
Real time.
And you know what? He's over there and he was just making a call, trying to find something out. That's how... Yeah. Up to date, this show is. We want to talk about the films that were released at midnight last night. Now, we've got three to talk about. We're going to talk about Show Dogs. We're going to talk about Armed Response. And we're going to talk about Distorted. If you've seen any of those films, please get in touch, 4001, or you can use the free Dubai Eye app. The first film we're going to talk about, going to give you a listen to the trailer, first of all. It's called Show Dogs.
I'm Max. I'm an undercover cop working a kidnapping case. A baby panda was stolen, and they're using a dog show as a front for animal smuggling.
Why are there dogs in this meeting?
That's what partners are for.
What is happening in this town?
Let's take these smugglers down.
Viva Las Vegas.
I give props to hip-hop, so hip-hop hooray.
Viva Las Vegas.
Hey.
Oh. Stop, Max, stop it. What kind of dog likes hip-hop?
They're at the world's most exclusive dog show.
You're here. Bow to the king.
You were kidding me, right?
And Max.
Are we in the right place? I could have swore we were backstage at a Cirque du Soleil.
What?
He's on a mission.
Wait, you're a cop?
I'm working undercover.
What if he actually won the whole show?
Nope.
Hey, you do remember I bite, right?
All right, coach, what's our first move?
I shall turn you into the show dog.
Huh? Oh, boy.
With a little bonding.
3, 2...
You waited for me to get back here for that, didn't you?
And some help from friends.
I'm deputizing both of you.
Yes, sir.
I accept, but I get to be the bad cop.
They just might...
Hang on, kid, I'm coming.
...solve the case.
You are different from other show dogs.
Max is a partner, so has a partner.
Show Dogs, that was the trailer for it. It came out last night in Dubai. It is rated PG. If, like me, maybe you haven't got children, maybe you've just been busy and you haven't seen the stories around this film. But there has been a bit of controversy. Before we get to that, William, can you tell us what the story's about?
So, it is about a Rottweiler police dog named Max, who's going to go undercover as a show dog at a prestigious police show. So, I guess it's... what was that movie? Miss Congeniality?
Yeah.
But with a dog. Played by Will Arnett.
I love the premise. Mm-hmm. Talking animals in movies? I'm in.
Yeah, I mean, I do think we're primed for a Miss Congeniality remake. And I do think if you're going to bring in anyone, it's got to be Will Arnett playing a dog, right? It's got to be that.
Definitely. Now, people have been talking about this movie. I didn't know about this until this morning when Em said, oh, have you seen the controversy surrounding this? And I was like, no. But parents are up in arms, are they? Or is it a couple of parents who brought this...
They have concerns, basically. There's a couple of scenes in the film where, basically, with show animals, they have to... There are certain tests that are done with show animals, basically having certain parts of the dog checked. This happens in the film, and kind of the premise is, obviously, this happens to the dog, and the dog is basically told, you have to get used to this, so he goes off into his happy place. And some parents have shown concern, saying... Should we be talking about this stuff when in a kids' movie and things like this? So there are a few concerns.
It's interesting that they decided to put this into the movie because they didn't have to do it. Some of the headlines that I've seen, for instance, this one, which is in IndieWire.com, says, Show Dogs, filmmakers apologise to parents who claim its message could make children vulnerable to sexual predators. My first thought was, what if this then brings the conversation to the front? Because it's a conversation that parents do have to have with their kids, I guess. It's a horrible one, but we're living in 2018. I think it's a conversation that has to be had.
Yeah, I mean, it's good that we're keeping very mindful of this.
Yeah.
And I do think the studio replied by immediately cutting it. By the second week, it was out of the movie in the U.S. Mm-hmm. Since we're already past that here in the UAE, I believe the UAE cut has been cut, but I haven't been able to confirm that or get a comment from the local distributors. But I do think that it's good that people are being so responsive to these sorts of issues. Yeah. And this is something that we're all immediately noticing and talking about, which makes it so much better than we were, you know, even 5-10 years ago.
It's all right. Now, one of the other films, I've only got time for one more. So I want to go with Distorted, because I really like the trailer for this. Take a listen.
This is the pinnacle.
Lauren, Russell, welcome to 21st century living.
We have the ultimate comfort and tranquility.
All suites have access to our 24-hour surveillance of all key venues.
The pinnacle is owned by a man named Henning Dahlquist.
I'll have a guy now check into this, see what I can dig up.
A word just flashed across the screen.
What word?
Lauren, Russell thinks you should be hospitalized again.
What? If we don't get results within 4 to 6 weeks, I like to try upping the dosage.
I'm not one of them.
Excuse me?
Deliver it!
How did you get through the gate? And I have to ask you to leave.
This is the pinnacle.
Or I will call security.
Have you noticed anything unusual about your apartment?
What is your interest in all this?
I met someone recently who was talking about it. What if someone is using this building as a subliminal advertising experiment?
What are you experiencing?
Coercive flash images.
They're just gonna take
this is not in my head.
There's a part of you that can't be touched. You gotta listen to that part of yourself. You're not paranoid. Who do you trust?
Now, you see, William had messaged me yesterday and said, all of the films this week are rubbish. I'm not interested in any of them. And I was like, oh, no. And then I watched the trailer for that, Distorted, and I was like, do you know what? This looks quite good.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that I would like the idea of a John Cusack and Christina Ricci movie, and I do want it to be good. I think that the poster caught my eye for this just because I think John Cusack is at the point where he's vain enough so that he's been airbrushed unrecognizably. He looks kind of like a blob with a frown on this cover. I think it's pretty hilarious. But I do think he's still a great actor. I do think he's still very talented. And this seems a lot like one of his past movies, Identity, where it's kind of playing with, are they crazy? Is this really happening? What's happening here? So here we have a young woman with bipolar disorder. Specifically, she's incredibly paranoid. And the question is her paranoia justified? Because she believes that this building is being tested upon. They're doing synthetic telepathy tests to brainwash everyone in the building that could end up having ramifications around the globe. And John Cusack gets involved with this young woman and they try to fight this plot to brainwash everyone.
I like the look of it. We're going to come back and we're done with movies that are out in the cinemas. However, we are going to be doing the Netflix 6. We have found 6 things on Netflix. If you want to stay in this weekend, we found them and we think you might be interested in watching them. Coming up next.
Real time.
And when I say movies, I'm actually talking about Netflix because the movies are light on the ground this week. But we've gone for a few things that are on Netflix this weekend that you can find and you can watch. The first one, I've been watching this series all the way through. And at the beginning, I was really excited about it because he had Obama in the big chair, David Letterman.
Which has had a huge ramification since, because backstage, Netflix was like, hey, Obama, maybe we should do some stuff together. And Obama's like, what a coincidence. I was thinking the same thing. And now it's going to be this gigantic deal, this huge overall package with him and Michelle making a million things for Netflix. Wow. So yeah, the show has already kind of changed things immediately.
I wonder if Letterman gets any commission for that. Introducing, do you think?
They pay him in beard oil, so he'll probably just get extra.
So as it's gone through, Liz Lemon was the last one that I saw, and I loved that. But there have been some where I've thought, you're not pushing this very hard, David.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I felt about him for the last 15 years.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, he was so good in the 80s, and he was, when he took over for Leno, or after he took over and was competing with Leno in the 90s, when he did not take over Johnny Carson's spot, he was really good as well. But ever since then, he just seemed bored. I don't know. So I think there's still a bit of lingering boredom here, even though he's clearly having the show the way he wants rather than just doing things as to his old show.
Although his next guest has some seriously good stories to tell, I imagine. His next guest is Howard Stern. Are you a fan?
No.
Me neither, gotta say. Shock jocks. Not really all about that.
I don't know. I just kind of needs to move on, really, doesn't he? He kind of needs to do something else.
He offends me, but not in a good way.
Yeah, it's the kind of things that seemed okay before we... I mean, as men, I think it's kind of cringeworthy if you go back and listen to all the things they were laughing at 20 years ago, 30 years ago. We've just... the world has changed so much, and it is not really accommodating the Howard Stern mindset.
Although, we don't like him, but I think when you hear this clip... I wouldn't listen to him on the radio, but I think I would watch this episode of David Letterman because of the stories he's got. Here's a little taster.
To me, a guest who comes on and says anything that is in his mind is a great guest. And he would get on, and no matter what I asked him, he would answer.
Yes.
In a very sincere and thought-out way. I'd say, Donald, and I'd always call him Mr. Trump. He liked that. I'd say, Mr. Trump, tell me, who are the great beauties? If I ask you some names, can you tell me who the great beauties are? He goes, first of all, straight face. The great beauties, Howard, are not actresses. It's models and a lot of these girls who work in the, you know, anyone who works in the entertainment industry, really, I've only seen sixes and sevens. So, you know, I'd say, well, Donald, I think Angelina Jolie is a great beauty. Seven. Really? Why? Well, come on. He goes, you know who's a great beauty? I go, who? He goes, my daughter, Ivanka. Now, she's a 10. And so we'd have these discussions.
Oh, my.
And, of course, with the internet now, all these tapes are out there. Yeah. And they're still using them on a constant basis.
Oh, so my thing is that Howard Stern's having those discussions, but he's having them probably from... a yummy mate, Donald Trump point of view.
Yeah, in retrospect, he's like, I'm this investigative journalist exposing everyone. It's like, you're Howard Stern, bro.
I think I'm going to watch it, though. Are you?
We'll see. We'll see. There's so many things to watch on Netflix.
My next guest, that's Howard Stern, and that's the next episode out there. You say that, you know, but I'm quite a fiend when it comes to watching stuff on Netflix, and I run out all the time.
Really?
Yeah. There's some stuff I just don't want to watch, like the older movies. Not keen. Some series I don't want to watch, and I feel like there's not enough new documentaries coming through.
We've gotten a lot since. We've gotten Wild Wild Country came out. I believe you're a fan of some older documentaries on there as well, right?
I am, like Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah, so the first few seasons were on a different streaming platform, but it was so popular, his show Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, that they've moved it over to Netflix, which is just a huge distribution service, and now everyone in the world is finally seeing this show.
Would I be right in describing it as more of a funny Top Gear?
Yeah, I mean, it's a Top Gear that I'm more likely to watch.
Yeah, me too. Because you do get to learn a little bit about the cars. And this is him picking up stars in vintage cars. They could have called it that.
And they should have consulted cars. You on this one.
Ah, I'm really good at the rhyming stuff. He takes them for a spin. He takes them for a snack, all whilst chatting. You learn a bit about the cars as well, for instance.
Right, let's get real. This is a 1964 Volvo 122 sedan in pearl white with a red leatherette interior and red wheels with hubcaps that have red insignias. In Europe, these cars were known as Amazons. It's got a four-cylinder engine and a four-speed gearbox. It has 90 horsepower. That's enough. This was also the very first production car to come with seat belts and a padded safety dashboard. Cars are always the most vivid expression of what a culture is about in the time that it was made. This car is the essence of great 60s Swedish values. Honest, hardworking, unfussy, not out to impress, and built to last. It also happens to be the personal taste of my unbelievably talented and funny extra special guest today, Miss Kristen Wiig. Kristen is of Norwegian descent and loves old Volvos. I think there's a connection there.
So yeah, Kristen Wiig is going to be the next guest on Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee with Jerry Seinfeld. I'm ever so sorry to tell you that Emma Breen won't be back next week because she's just said the most disgusting thing. Much worse than anything Howard Stern has ever said on the radio. Would you like to repeat yourself?
I can't stand Jerry Seinfeld. I hated the show Seinfeld, could never watch it. Sorry. So I just, he annoys me. I don't like him.
William, what have you got to say?
I
don't like him.
I think he, as a person, I'm not really interested in what he's having to say
out.
Now about the world. But Seinfeld, the show, is always going to be seminal. And early Jerry Seinfeld was very, very important to me growing up.
Yeah, I've watched every single episode as I've been an adult, and it's so good. Maybe you were watching it at the wrong time in your life.
I don't. I've never really truly watched it, to be brutally honest. I could never get into it. It was a show that I never got to. I watch a couple of episodes and go, "What am I watching? This doesn't interest me."
Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Nope, hate that too.
Yeah, it's just not for you.
No, it's just not for me. But you know, if you're talking Frasier, then that's my bag.
He's just okay. One of those comedians who has now said, you know, oh, we can't joke about anything anymore. Everyone's too offended. And I think those comedians are really lazy and need to catch up with the times. So now he just sounds like an old man waving his arm at a cloud. So it's the current Jerry Seinfeld that I have more problems with.
How do we feel about John McAfee?
I'm glad that he's stepped away from his product, because I don't think I'd want this man running any software that I'm using on my computer.
Yes, the McAfee software. You're probably still getting pop-ups for it now, even if you had it like for the last time 15 years ago.
I am.
Yeah, a lot of people are, aren't they? It's based on the documentary. The documentary is based on the life of John McAfee. It's called Gringo. It's on Netflix. William hasn't seen it and refuses to because he says that I've told him too much about it. So I've picked out a tiny little bit of the trailer. Take a little listen. Let us know if you've seen it, what you thought of this, because I thought it was one of the best documentaries on Netflix at the moment.
I'm John McAfee. I'm the guy that was accused of murdering police and ran into Guatemala. The FBI is going to be looking for him if you don't call him, sir.
The FBI?
When John came up with antiviral software, 90% of the people weren't even aware of viruses.
By 1993, McAfee controlled 67% of the desktop antivirus market.
When he first came into the country, he was very friendly.
He donated a considerable amount of equipment to police.
If you're giving donations to the police, are there some motives behind that?
He was getting paranoid.
I started seeing more and more security people.
He had guys with criminal records, give them gone.
I think he really wanted to create a cult or a mystique like Colonel Kurtz. And here he is in the heart of darkness.
How many girlfriends did he have?
At least 5 or 6 girls.
I do have teenage girlfriends, and many at a time.
He would talk about his hitmen, how he could have people hurt or killed. And he brought me 2 pills and a glass of orange juice. And I woke up dizzy, and he was standing over me. He went from 0 to crazy in like 2 seconds.
I don't see how he can lose. I'm serious.
He'd apparently gotten away with possible murder and rape, all seemingly without consequence.
He's legitimized himself again.
And I see him regaining that reputation.
Please turn your cameras off.
And he's dangerous.
He is dangerous.
Awful people are so fascinating, and I wish they were not.
But he did re-legitimize himself. He's living freely in the United States, as far as I know.
Yeah, if you're rich, you can usually do anything. That's just how it works.
Do check it out. It's a really fascinating documentary, not for kids. It's called Gringo. It's on Netflix. And when we come back with our Netflix 6, William has picked a couple that I'm not sure about. But
there's some good stuff in there.
You're going to convince me about them.
I put my 3 up against your 3 anytime.
Right. We'll have to see them. Real time. So looking at Netflix, doing the Netflix 6 today, we gave you 3 to look at. Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, also Gringo, and Letterman, My Next Guest. We recommended those before the break. You have pulled a few out of the hat. And the first one you sent to me, I was like, nah, what is this? And you said, no, it's brilliant. People need to know about it.
I was super skeptical myself. I was in Tokyo, and I was on the way to interview the creator of this show. But they hadn't sent us a screener that hadn't come out yet. I'm just like, okay, it looks like Hello Kitty. Why would I ever watch a show? Why would I ever be interested? And it starts, and it's one of those characters in that same, you know, Hello Kitty world. But her thing is that she's secretly into heavy metal. And she goes to places and she sings it, or she sings it behind her head. She sings in her head. And so the creator, he, I guess, had the idea of, why would this woman ever be angry? Why is she into heavy metal? And it ended up accidentally making it into this incredibly feminist show, talking about all the different... Because Japan is a very aggressively patriarchal culture, and women get pushed around a lot. And as, you know, all other cultures in the world are, to a point as well. And so, you know, she's being... you know, harassed by her boss. She's being pushed aside. Nobody's taking her ideas seriously. And so she uses heavy metal to vent about all of those different things. And all the things that she goes through and the microaggressions that she deals with from men and the way that, you know, the women fight with each other without even realizing it. It's very relatable throughout all of it. So even though you're watching, you know, a cat and a moose, and even though it's this very cute, cel-shaded flash animation, it is an incredibly relatable show that has a lot to say about modern life, especially for women. And the creator himself is her voice as a heavy metal singer as well. And he, I asked him to do the singing as well. And so he did the blah. I can't even do it myself. But it was incredibly entertaining.
So it's in Japanese, the subtitles, or it's dubbed in English.
Yeah, so you can check it both ways for sure.
We've got a little clip of it being dubbed in English. I haven't heard this yet.
I think you're going to be interested.
My name is Retsuko. 25. Single. Scorpio. Blood type A. There are thousands of girls working in offices just like me. But this girl has a secret up her sleeve. And a mic in her purse.
Welcome back, miss. Will it be your usual?
I'm just dropping off your food.
Leave it on the table.
I think I'm in.
I think just watch the first episode.
Great.
I do think you'll be laughing more than you expected to.
Agretsuto.
Agretsuko. Yeah, so like aggressive. But it's a very funny show. And I do think that more people should check this out.
Okay, the next one you've gone for is called Hasan Minhaj, Homecoming King.
Yeah, so Hasan Minhaj, he's on The Daily Show. He did the White House Correspondents' Dinner last year, and this is his special that's really about his entire life. And I do think anyone that's been a fan of The Big Sick, which was up for a lot of awards last year, or Master of None, Aziz Ansari's show on Netflix, should watch this, and it's probably the best in that genre of what it's like to be a diasporic Indian growing up in America and dealing with those sorts of issues. It's not really a comedy special, and it's not stand-up. There's no improvisation here. It's very much a very planned story of, you know, it's sort of almost like a TED Talk of him telling the story of his life and all the different things that he went through and the ways that he was treated differently and ostracized. It's moving, it's, you know, heartwarming, it's about family, it's about relationships, and about feeling different in a culture that's not your own. And I do think that everyone should watch this special as soon as possible, because it's incredibly moving, incredibly educational, and incredibly funny.
That's your taster.
Americans hit their kids on the arm and bruise their body. Immigrants slap you across the face and bruise your soul. It's Guantanamo of the mind. We were in AP Calc together, but we had chemistry. That's basically the way our parents are. Ages 0 through 30, they're like, no girls, right? Then when you're 35, they're like, why can't you talk to girls? That's basically the way you're like, that would kill me. And my dad's from that generation, like a lot of immigrants, where he feels like if you come to this country, you're gonna endure some racism. But for me, like a lot of us, I was born here. So I actually have the audacity of equality. Like, I'm like, nah, I'm an honors gov. I have it right here. Life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. All men are created equal. Says it right here, I'm equal.
Hasan Minhaj, Homecoming King. Check that out on Netflix. There's one more. You can't watch it yet. It's coming. Just give us a little bit of the story, and we'll talk about it more when it actually gets you.
Yeah, this is it's been more than 10 years in the making, so I'm so happy this has finally happened. But there's a comic book called Lock and Key, written by Joe Hill, who's the son of Stephen King. Mm-hmm. And it's about this house, this ancient house that's been in a family for generations. And the family moves back to their old house and they start finding these keys everywhere. And the keys each have powers. One opens a door and when you go through it, you become a ghost on the other side. One opens the back of your skull and you can either put things in or take things out. One gives you wings. One makes you giant. All these different things. And there's also a malevolent force that's in the house that's trying to get the power of the keys themselves. And it's a fascinating comic book. I'm sure there's, you know, huge fans out there. The author and the artist came here last year, and when I spoke to him, I'm like, why are you going to do more? He's like, well, I'll do more if we get another TV show. They did one pilot back in 2010. It didn't get picked up. They did another pilot this year. They were really excited for someone to pick it up. It didn't get picked up. But finally, Netflix has come in. They swooped in, and they've announced that they are going to be producing this show entirely new. They've not just a pilot. They've already given it a series order, so it's going to finally be happening, and Lock and Key is going to get the series that it deserves, and awesome. I'm so excited about it.
Awesome. We'll keep you up to speed on that as it happens, as we get more news. Brenda's texting, where is that Japanese show playing, please, William?
It's on Netflix. It's called Agritsuko. So look for the little cat who looks like Hello Kitty and also gets very angry.
It's in your living room. How more convenient can that be, Brenda? William, thank you so much. I will see you again next week. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, you too. Real time.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.